In a world where Toku fans are easy and the wrong figure arts are released for retail, three man children stand not quite shoulder to shoulder with their trusty spray can at their side, united across timelines and space against the congealed, grimdark 90s inspired hordes. Shuku and Shinobi, Dossum Rifle, Jedi Mom, Aerosol. Their mission, to bring you the latest Toku news in the craziest way possible. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles Season 4. If you don't listen to this show, you don't know anything about Tokusatsu.
Hello, welcome to ours, Season 4, Episode 44.
On Amaria Crackers in My Soup. There would have been a reaction here, but Aerosol wasted it by not leaving.
Well...
Every time you get up when you say I'm leaving, what you should do is just take your headset or your microphone or whatever and just throw them, and then get up. So there's no surprises.
I don't wear a headset.
Well, you pretend you do.
It's on my computer.
Just metaphorical headset. Just like mime it.
That's not going to solve anything.
I don't know. It's like when Jeff picked up Troy and Abed's imaginary hats. It helps.
You got to give me like a 30-second lead. I say that I'm going to leave, and then I start taking up from my chair, and you're like, oh, he's gone. Only 5 seconds have left. Time to say some shit. I don't know why you're always, like, upset. You never say anything bad.
I'm not upset. How dare you say I'm upset? I'm just kidding. I'm sorry for my partner's sudden and violent outburst. Anyway, speaking of sudden and violent outbursts, one-offs?
Yeah.
Brian's been on vacation.
Yeah, I went to the casino. 1-0. I did get some birthday presents, so that was fun.
What'd you take as your little trinket?
Scraggy, because Scraggy helped so much at, when we went to West Virginia. But it didn't help me this time.
I forgot I... Taking what?
We like bumped heads. Yeah. Stop talking. I was gonna say you should have taken clone aerosol.
You could put him on a leash. I forgot I was gonna send you a reply saying take Troy, like the giant Troy, just because like it would be hilarious like to take pictures of him sitting at the slot machine or like around your shoulders. Like, it would be great, just you carrying around this doll everywhere. You should, like, bring him to Morphicon. We could have adventures with him.
I'll see if he fits.
I'm trying to shove him over the overhead bin. Sir, what are you trying to put up there? Oh, this is just Troy. It's like, sir, you're going to have to check that. Are you a Captain Marvelous fan? Well, I'm mad at him. And you tell him Brian is mad at him, and I'm taking Troy with me.
Let's see, what did I get? I got the Mega Bloks Ultimate Legendary Megazord. Is that what they're calling it? I think so. Kanzen Gok. So now I have all three, so I can do a video, maybe. What else did I get? I got a bacon bowl, because I needed that in my life. I got the third season of Game of Thrones on Blu-ray. And
they get the incest just right.
Yeah, they do. And Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. And that is all at the moment. My actual birthday is when most people will be listening to this. So
you better yell out happy birthday wherever you are in the world.
Yeah, you bet. I'm saying that again, I guess. I actually would have tried to get here today, but it didn't because I wasn't here. I did get a Kurokage from Mandarake.
Oh, so did I.
So did Kevin. We all did. Yeah.
Yay! Mandarake Brothers. There goes my one-ups.
It's funny because he texted me and said that he was trying to get a Kurokage from Mandarake, and I was like, so am I. I wonder if it's the same one. Clearly it wasn't, but... How much did you pay for yours?
4,000.
Yeah, that's what I did, too.
helps to pick up a Kurokage so I can be part of the group. All the cool kids are doing it.
Yeah.
I see all the Kurokage kids are doing it.
Or we call ourselves the Kurokage troops, thank you.
I hope you all eat fruit and turn into monsters.
Okay. Sounds like a good plan.
That was okay.
Monsters don't get taxed.
Damn, train, settle down. Sorry.
That's it for me.
Well, Brian took half my one-ups. I got the Kurokage. Every time I order from Mandarake and I'm ordering something, like the past three times, I've tried to order the Forze and O's lock set. They never have the second one, but they just have the one, and it's always 2,000 yen. And I'm like, well, it's not. I'd rather get them together, but why not throw it in here? And three times in a row, they never had it. Three separate stores. So I tried to get that, but I ended up just getting Kurokage. And anything else if I purchased? Oh, yeah, just Titanfall. I got Titanfall when it came out, but I didn't get to play it till today. And then today, all I got to do was the stupid tutorial, which I already did with the beta. So I'll really get to start it tomorrow. And I've almost done with Season 6 of The Clone Wars. I have 4 more episodes left. And I think that's all I'm going to share.
Didn't you say you had, like, a story to tell?
Yeah, but I don't want to tell it, because I've been talking about it all week, and I don't feel like talking about it anymore.
Well, thanks.
That's why I said that's all I have to share instead of that's all I did.
I haven't done shit. So, let's move on to the news that we don't have.
Oh, look at it. It's a big space of nothing.
I want to know what the story is.
It's nothing. Don't even worry about it.
This week I heard an ambulance drive by my house, and it was doing that, like, whoop whoop thing where they
sounds like it's a party ambulance.
Well, no, where they hold on, where they are, like, sort of turning on the sirens.
Uh-huh. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And then it kept doing it, so I just went whoop 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 whoop. And then eventually it started going, and eventually they were just playing a full on song. It sounded like I was in, like, a nightclub.
That's funny.
Like, what is going on?
I know what sound you're talking about now, because cop cars do that too, and me and my friend always mess around when there's a part in Harold and Kumar where he wants him to cross the street without pressing the button, and there's nobody around, and as soon as he steps off the curb, you hear, and the cop car pulls up. So, like, whenever we're about to do something like that, we'll just make that noise. That was a funner story for me than it was
for you. I like how that sound reminds you of Harold and Kumar, of all things.
Yeah, yeah.
And not just, you know, hey, I know that sound. I hear that in real life.
You know, speaking of Harold and Kumar, apparently Karen Gillan and John Cho are shooting a pilot for a comedy together. It's called, like, Selfies or something, but I wish it was called Harold and Amy Go to White Castle. I would watch that. Anyway, that's the news.
this thing happened called Morphin Madness.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Aerosol has the best reaction.
I don't know if we mentioned it before or not, but it's basically this thing that they're doing where they took 80 Rangers, which caused an uproar or something, and basically pitted them one versus one in 40 votes for the first round, a total of 4 rounds, and then you'll end up with 5 Rangers, which is going to be their all-star team or whatever. They're going to throw them in a key pack and give them away to people in the sweepstakes, and probably Comic-Con, but that's just a guess. But anywho, so that started on Monday, and wow, that's about all I could say. Some of the matchups are pretty interesting. The first one that I got a really big kick out of was Samurai Green versus Samurai Green.
Oh, he's crushing Mike. Poor Mike. That's what he gets for dissing Megaforce. Mystiforce. Megaforce. Damn it.
That one was pretty fun. We also have somewhere in here Robo Knight versus Blue Centurion. I thought that was kind of fun.
I vote Robo Knight every time.
Yep. We also have Jungle Fury Wolf Ranger versus Wild Force Lunar Wolf Ranger.
RJ is losing.
He is losing, and it makes me really upset.
RJ had a sidekick named Maurice, and it was a rat. Oh, but then I thought about it. I'm like, well, Merrick did have a soft-spoken black man as a mentor, so I'm like, I get it.
They put Titanium Ranger up against Wolf Warrior.
Who they name Wolf Ranger now.
Yeah, he's legit now. He's a ranger.
I want Wolf Warrior to win so bad. I'm hoping that kids go there and look at the pictures and see how cool he looks and how, like, lame Titanium picture looks. Like, it looks like a bootleg, which it kind of does compared to Wolf Warrior's epic stance. The Wolf Warrior is the defender of truth. What is the Titanium the defender of? Terrible acting? Constipation? Running like a girl? The Wolf Warrior is the defender of truth.
Truth.
That's what he said.
Udana's up against Kimberly, which is sad because she's just getting crushed.
What a bee.
Trini and or Aisha is up against Gia and somehow winning.
You can tell it's Trini because of the flat chest. When I posted that thing on Twitter, I legitimately saw someone on Facebook Rangers say, out of respect for, what's her fucking name? Whatever Trini's actor's name is. Yeah, that's it. It's really, I can never pronounce it right. Twig. out of respect for her, we should all vote. I'm like, you know, that's unfair to Gia, who is just being punished for winning by being alive and being hotter.
Not to mention, it's been almost 20 years since she died.
Exactly.
I'm not saying we should, well, I was going to say I'm not saying that we should disrespect her, but we kind of do that all the time. But I'm just saying the grieving period has passed.
Not to mention, no one's saying that about Adana, and she died for legitimate reasons.
I didn't know that.
She had, I think it was brain cancer? Brain tumor of some
sort? Something like that. It was a natural disease-esque thing.
It was one of those ones I was really surprised about, because, like, I didn't hear about it until, like a year ago, I think. I know Ernie died. Not the new one, because that would be weird. I mean, because we're still seeing him. What would he have died
very
too much?
Kinda had it coming, though.
Yeah.
Wait, Ernie died? And Zordon died?
Bum, bum,
I think
bum.
There's a connection here.
I saw something about someone saying that I was thrown off guard at first because it was a thread on Ranger Board that said Ernie was supposed to be Zordon. I'm like, wait, like thank you, come again, Ernie? Like, because of the anniversary? And at first I thought, that's hilarious. Zordon got reincarnated as an Indian dude? That's amazing. I like Zordon so much more now. You just can't be mad at those people. They're so friendly. But then it turned out it was the other Ernie. Who just wasn't as fun. He just kind of, you know, dropped shakes. I don't remember. And then he sold the place to Lieutenant Stone, and then some black mamma jamma stole the place and called it the surf spot. I like to think she just came in there with a bunch of hoods and just, like, Captain or Lieutenant Stone out of there. What happened to his life, man? He used to be a cop. And then he ran a juice bar. Anyway.
That was a really...
random tangent. God,
son of a bitch.
That was a really odd son of a bitch.
I was trying to upload footage for my review and the camera just died. So much for that.
But anyway, Morphin Madness.
Anyway. So yeah, it's just morphinmadness.com if you want to take a look at it. But two key things here caused this widespread
key thing.
Oh man,
sorry.
Unintentional puns. Love it. It caused this uproar amongst the PR community, and I don't even want to call it a community anymore because it's kind of more like a war zone.
It's an insult to the show community, who in the hands of Morphin Madness would probably have descended further into Mattis, and there would be an entire society based off of this voting system.
I wish that would have happened.
So the first thing that happened was the fact that there was only 80 Rangers represented, and not all 119. Slash, what are we up to now? 100 and... it's gonna be 125?
Sure.
I think. Something like that. And so that caused an uproar. Everyone's like, it's not a true test of all stars if it's not all the Rangers. I wasn't even expecting 80, but...
I was just expecting Samurai, the Megaforce, and MMPR.
Like, let's be honest. How many of the ones that they left out do people actually care about?
I can't even remember. They're all the ones with boobies.
Oh, right. Sexism. Gotcha.
So, that word reared its ugly head again. Because most of the ones that they left out were the female Rangers. There was a handful of guys that didn't make it, and I don't remember which ones. A couple, Dino Thunder Blue again, I don't know. they do exist, I swear.
He got left out twice. Poor Ethan. He never set off those sprinklers.
It's all his fault. But because of the fact that the ones that they left out were mostly the female Rangers, and the fandom as a whole, at least the vocal majority, were all banding together to vote female for this entire thing. It didn't matter who was paired up against who. If it had boobs, they were getting a vote. Because they wanted to show Bandai that girls need their representation too.
That's exactly how my dating life works.
You band together with a bunch of people to vote boobs?
Yes.
So the entire community at the start of this was like, vote female, vote titanium, vote anything that doesn't have a key. And which led to another thing, that people are voting purely for key purposes. Like, I'm voting for Blue Centurion because he needs a key. I'm voting for Titanium because he needs a key. Bitch, Wolf Warrior needs a key too.
He didn't even get a figure. That bitch Titanium got two.
He got, like, three or four if you count Lightspeed's actual
Yeah. Anyway. True, but Wolf Warrior needs it more because he's not being overhyped, so. I'm mad at Titanium. You tell him. I'm mad at him.
And, like, so people are like, oh, you need to vote for this person because they need a key. Okay, well, first of all, the five that win are being made into a key set that you might not get. What if this key set that they make is only for the sweepstakes? You ain't ever going to get your hands on that damn thing unless you fucking win. And if it's a Comic-Con exclusive, that's still an exclusive item that you need to go through, like, middleman people that go to Comic-Con to get. So you're still not getting the damn key set for a reasonable thing. And people are flipping out of the fact that the remaining keys that aren't sold at retail might get shoved to convention packs, if that even happens. This is what that's gonna be.
Pretty much.
I don't get these people logic. It's a stupid little fucking March Madness vote thing with Power Rangers so that they can give out prizes and coupons. Like, this
and
isn't
people are
show
like,
them anything, really.
And then the people with the sexism are acting like Bandai is trying to reverse women's rights from decades back. They're like, we need them to stop voting and be back in the kitchen as sex cooks. It's like, they're not saying that. Just calm down.
I really want a sex cook.
But it's, like, ridiculous. People are freaking out, like, as if they're, like, being super sexist. It's like, they're not. It's just super, because of Megaforce. Sorry. But it's, like we've talked about, it's just the way that they know the way their business works. And male stuff sells more. And it's not like they excluded them completely. It's so stupid. Like, I can't even believe how upset people get over it. It's insane.
But Dawson, the girls are all paired up against each other. They're trying to weed them out.
Well, yeah, it's hotter that way. It's just like a cat fight. If there was Jell-O, psh.
A cook-off.
A sex cook-off?
Yeah.
Called Iron Sex.
Oh, Lord.
But it's just so funny seeing, like, how these fans turn into like these super activists and like are so self-righteous about it. And then I just think of Kevin being like, you belong in the kitchen sucking my dick. Like, I like how we have someone like that on our podcast where everyone else is like, this is just a terrible injustice. And Kevin's just like, your mom's a terrible injustice last night.
Sounds about right. Yeah. Oh, wow. Like, it got so ridiculously out of hand. Like, that first day that this came out Monday, I was seriously ready to just quit. I'm like, yeah, I'm done with you people. I'm out. I'm just going to go in my secluded little corner, play with my toys. Y'all leave me the fuck alone because I can't take this anymore.
That's just how I live my life every day, but to each his own.
Yeah. But, like, see, I don't know what has happened to this fandom in the past year. Like, all of a sudden, like, the entirety of the PR fandom is some sort of, like, women's rights group.
Well, they learned a new word.
So. It was very exciting for them.
I mean, it's over a fucking boys' toy line and boys' programming. I mean, they're there. What more do you want? That's probably the wrong thing to say, but that's fine.
What? They're there?
Yeah.
Like, they're there. Calm down.
No, like, they are there.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's not like they. It's not like we have Sun Vulcan. There are women here. There. They exist, and they have functions in the television show.
And other ones. But, you know, and they have... Books, I don't they, know. They included females in the vote, and they have products. I mean, two, but the Gokai girls are getting a key set with like a translucent red or whatever. So there's that. It's just the way it goes. Greendale's the way it goes.
Yeah, it's like we've said for the past month or so.
How long has this war been going on?
It's an unfortunate truth, but that is just the reality of business.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing, is that they're a business making money, and they know how much they need to do and what they need to do to make the most money. It's unfortunate that they, like, Bandai America as a whole doesn't really operate like Bandai Japan does in terms of, like, I don't want to say feed because that's a weird word, but giving the collectors a bone here or there. I mean, they have the Legacy line, but that's just basically fapping off to season one of MMPR. They're not really going anywhere, whereas Bandai Japan is basically thriving off the collector's market. But it's unfortunate, but they... Evidently, they don't think the market's big enough, so...
Well, you know, it's funny, because with the whole key thing, it's pretty much equally as frustrating in Japan or here to get all the keys. But here, in a lot of ways, I think we have a better deal, because you're getting more of every team. Because not every team got full key sets in Japan, so at least with this one, for every single team, you're at least getting three Rangers, which I think is kind of nice. They all make the same sound, but still.
They did in Japan, too.
Yeah, but it's like... There was a great deal of teams I only have the red for, and I'm fine with it because they're old and busted. But it's just, it's not like Japan. It was super easy to get them. You had to track down what set they were in, whether it was exclusive or Gashapon or candy. I think Kevin literally just completed his regular one, and he's still got ones to go because they're making Ranger keys for just random shit now. Ranger keys Seinfeld. Like, it's like, damn it. Enough with the Ranger keys. They don't even make noise anymore.
Like, like you said, it gets me. The fact that you sit there and talk about how, oh, Bandai Japan's so much better, yada, 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 and then you start throwing around the term sexism. I would like to point out the fact that Japan's product line is just as, quote-unquote, sexist as ours, if not worse.
I think the only toys the females really get outside of their mecha is the vinyls. Because, like, with the swap gimmick figures and stuff like that, we're not getting the girls as far as we know. For Tokyo Dream, I'm talking about.
Right.
And in the past 2 years, we just got reds for the others. But even previous to that, like with Bokenger, those little Zord vehicle things, no girls.
Because I mean, that's what gets me is that the fact that people aren't really acknowledging the fact that the source material is doing it too, and it's a lot more than just Bandai America doing this. It's Bandai Japan too, and again, they're a business; they know what they're doing. You don't agree with it, that's fine and dandy, but to go off of a sexist claim, I think is kind of outrageous when you're talking about a business operating a boys toy line. But
you know what gets me is I like that Yolanda brought it up as well, is that why do the girls have to like the girl characters? Aren't they free to like the guy characters too? To make it seem like the girls can't even participate because like all the girls aren't there. I'm like, you know, they don't have to like just the girl characters.
Cat's niece doesn't like a lot of the girl characters.
Well, I don't know anything about Cat's niece, so I can't comment on that.
I'm just backing up the statement. Trying to help, bro.
Cat doesn't like girl characters either. Remember when she first saw... Who was it she first saw in Doctor Who? She was just like, who's that bitch? And she was like mad at her, and she didn't even get to give her a chance. Was it Martha? Like, she hated Martha.
It was Martha because we were watching the episode where the Master comes back.
Oh, okay. It seemed like Kat hated her before she even had a chance to do anything. Don't bring Monster Mash up around Pam. Jim was making very good points about what a good song it is, but she was like, nope, hate it.
The keys were just as frustrating to collect in Japan, so it's not like we're like royally fucking up here. It was just as frustrating there. The packs all had reds until they switched to teams, and that really wasn't until the tail end of the line, and then the ones that released during GoBusters. So I don't get what the whole massive deal is. Yeah, it's a shame that we're only getting three, but. Like I said, they know what they're doing, and they know how much to make and what will sell. So, and the keys are selling pretty well, I think, from what I can gather.
And this thing's going to continue as long as Morphin Madness goes on.
Yep.
So sex.
The sexist thing.
You know what I have to say?
No charge, and there's only one girl.
To sum it up, sexist mechist. Wait, I can't end a press conference like that. Recall, speed call.
What was that one YouTube clip that you tweeted that was just saying shut up?
Oh, that was from Breaking Bad. She was just trying to say, she kept bugging Skylar, and she just finally exploded and just kept screaming, shut up, shut up. I thought it was perfect. Plus, I was still in that Breaking Bad mood. So, everything was Breaking Bad. But I thought it worked perfectly. Because everyone was being so preachy. It's like, my God, get off your high horse. You didn't even have the symbol power for that.
I want to make a horse out of a
symbol power kanji. Oh my God, that just happened. That's how Jaden will ride in next week.
God, I hope so. So that was all the news. That really wasn't even news. Yeah. That was just a rant about stupid people.
I hope we get some little bits of news in the next few weeks. We had such like a good 3 or 4 weeks of quite a bit of news, and now it's dry. I guess that's how it works, though.
That is how news works, yes.
Well, there's news every week for the regular news. It's not fair.
Well, that's just because they plucked the random murders that happened that day, and like, here's your news, everyone's dead. that sums up my local news.
And they have the
five
weather.
Killed in Detroit today because gang wars. Moving along. The car industry is stupid. That seriously, it sums up Detroit news.
Find out what the weather's going to do this week in the 7-day forecast after the break. I'll just look it up online. I don't have time to wait.
Speaking of weather, how stupid is the goddamn weather? I don't know if it's as stupid near you, Dawson, as it is here. We were in the 40s, and then all of a sudden, it was like, it plummeted back down to the, like, low 20s, 10s, what do you call them? 10s, teens, whatever? Yeah. I don't know what you call them. And it's like, oh, here's fucking 9 inches of snow again. As soon as it's all gone, it just farts everywhere and there's snow again.
That's kind of what it's like here.
It was hailing the other day.
It was like 60 degrees today, and yesterday it was There wasn't a lot of snow cover, but the roads were really slippery, and like it was snowing, and the wind was really fast. It was like blizzard conditions, which did cause a significant problem for me. So it's pretty crazy like that.
And now it's like fucking gonna be 40 again or something. I don't. This is so dumb. Weather's stupid. Anyway,
so dumb. So dumb. So so we did the weather. We do the weather, nice gal. Wait. We Gao? Do Chinese too. It's gonna be so good from now on. Chinese and weather. I meant to say guys now, and then I said nice gal. We do the weather, nice gal. I am Wei Wong with the news. That poor lady, her name was Wei Wong, and she did the weather. No one's ever gonna believe her. Sorry.
Wei Wong. So anyway, now on to.
I was trying to think of a joke for Wei Wong. It was going to be like, how long is that? Whatever. It's Wei Wong. this is Aerosol Fails stand up comedy. Anyway, all aboard for superhero time.
Choo choo.
Our first stop is Tokuger, episode 4. And this week, I got sent a message from Chenix asking me if he could write me a summary, since I don't really do summaries. So I thought it was kind of a neat idea, so I'm going to do this little one-off summary written by Chenix, and it's only marginally edited, so I left in some of the typos.
I can't wait.
Okay, so
I was gonna get some water, but I can't miss this.
We begin the episode with Wagon being depressed that an adult can't see her or the rainbow line. They mention that the rainbow train is at a junction for 3 hours, so the Tokyo. Calm down, Aerosol. I'm trying to rush. Okay. So the Tokugers have some time to spend in insert junction name here. I think he was hoping that I would fill that in.
Did they even say what it was?
I think so. It was like Pain Valley or something like that. Mio is going to exercise and asks Takati if he wants in, but he is going to Dawson's version of Hell, the library. Mio then asks what Kagura is going to do, and she says shopping, since they can buy anything they want as long as they use the Rainbow Pass. Takati has a massive organism with the thought of how many books he can buy and goes off yelling, whoopee!
Organisms! Neo-orgasm. Sorry, I just thought of that now.
Everyone else gets excited as well. Wright buys food, and Hikari buys an orange soda. Because who loves orange soda? Hikari loves orange soda. And this is where someone says, is it true?
Is it
and
true?
I'm like, it is.
I'm like, it is.
That was actually an ad lib. Trouble comes a-brewing when Takatai returns to the train and can't find his pass. Tickets all like, no train for you. But Wright, being a good friend, tries to lift the train entrance past the thing by himself to no avail. Meanwhile, at the villain's crib, General Schwartz is admiring a train, with Baby Huey creeping on him. He says he wishes he could observe the trains up close, so Big Baby Thing secretly throws a paper to show him a place to observe them. Meanwhile, another Shadow Junction appears, so Wright, Hikari, and Kagura, I have trouble with her name, go on the train while Mio and Takate get a taxi. The villain makes a remark on how slow the Express Sentai is. Fight and hijinks follow until the monster goes off because he hates pain. Takate and Mio get off a bus, and Takate decides to take a shortcut through the mountain. While the travel, Takate reveals... Oh, I was supposed to do the... Okay. Mio, that he feels useless compared to the rest, since Wright is better fighter, Hikari is smarter, no matter how much he studies. Kagura has a big imagination, and Mio is Mio. Mio then says she worries as well because she has the least imagination of all of them. She thought that Takati was right to tell her to exercise her imagination. Takati reassures her that
immigration said by a baby.
Takati reassures her that she is cool, and then she falls off a conveniently placed cliff. Takati comes to the rescue, and they both share a memory from when he saved her from falling out of a tree. Meanwhile, Wright takes a beating from the flying rocks the monster is throwing at him, but Wright is saying that it doesn't hurt, and tells the monster to try it for himself, which he does. Takati and Mio arrive, and together, through the power of colors, they defeat the monster, with baseball hammers and Kagura's inability to lift an axe. Monster grows, and they get into trains. Takati loving his pass. Okay. They fight, but grunts come with giant train mechs of their own. With them getting owned, suddenly Ticket pops up with the shield Resha. They summon the poor excuse for a shield, and it rams into them. They combine with much luck, the flying rocks hit the shield, and the grunts are taken out. The monster does not like Skittles, apparently, because it can't take the taste of the rainbow. And
oh man, that was a good
monster
one.
Off. God damn it. Back on the reimagined Denliner, Wagon conveniently forgot to tell them that they need to pay the money back. Wah, wah, wah. Not sure why that's written there.
I'm just reading what's here.
Oh, it's wah, wah, wah. Okay. Oh,
I prefer wah, wah, wah.
Takati changed the path to him like...
To play every time.
Takati changed the path to himself like Flava Flav. Falls off the lair and lands on Mio, who then slaps him. He then goes on to say that this was a fun episode. I liked it.
Thanks. thanks, substitute Kevin.
He then also asks, what did you think, Aerosol? That was
good
a summary. What did you think, Aerosol? Well, I liked it. It was an okay episode. I like Takati a lot.
Like, I have this thing about liking all the blues lately. Like, they're always just really interesting characters.
Yeah, like you said, it was a fun little episode. I still kind of enjoy this whole piecing together our memories through just these little interactions.
Uh-huh.
I noticed the scene earlier on. the Rangers were fighting the monster in the background, and you just see Hikari carrying Kagura on his shoulders, and she's just like hitting everything in her path. It was, I don't know, I thought it was really funny. He's like running through the crowd with her on his shoulders.
I like the scenes like that one in particular, where you can look at the forefront and be entertained, but if you look at the background, there's always something going on that's like even more interesting or even more funny. Because fucking BJ Stagg did it all the time. He was like the star of the background.
Oh, Jay.
But it's always interesting, and the color changes weren't awful in this episode. The color changes between the three that weren't Mio and Takati was kind of...
Red loves to go pink.
Really does. He's got a...
He's gone pink every single episode so far.
He likes that pink taco. But, you know, it was funny when they... When yellow and blue changed, I was thinking, oh, I wonder if, like, they might use that for the next few episodes and, like, have... like a dual character focused bonding thing, and then they have the switches, and then the other three just switch for no reason. I'm like, never mind. But yeah, overall, I enjoyed the episode. I thought it was fun. Takati is a fun character. He has some really good facial expressions, and there's some pretty funny comedic moments. This is such a weird thing to mention, but this is like the first time, and I feel like a long time, that I remember specifically in Sentai seeing like insides of stores and stuff. It just seemed kind of weird. I don't know if that's just something I noticed. Because, I don't know, we never went into side stores in Kyoryuger. They were so busy at the base all the time and fucking shit up. They had no time for shopping. I don't know. I just thought it was a weird thing to see, like, him in a computer store. Because I'd never seen that before. Not a computer store, but I mean, I don't know where I'm going. I'm going nowhere. This is what they talked about, the bridge to nowhere. But... yeah, I just thought that was a funny setting. I thought it was funny that he went out and bought all this shit, and then he found out you had to pay it back later.
That's how credit cards work.
Yeah. But I thought that was funny. I like how he goes and buys a whole bunch of random shit and, like, all this expensive stuff, and, like, Hikari gets, like, a soda. It's like, it's funny, different levels of it. Another random thing I thought was funny is that when... Wright was saying that those rocks didn't hurt. I thought that maybe was him using his powers for imagination, but he was legitimately just pretending it didn't hurt. It was like, there were several times in this episode where I'm like, I see what they're going for, and then 3 seconds later, oh, never mind.
I would like to point out that Kagura didn't do her little imagination thing in this episode.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
No, super girl! No, I just picture Chris doing that, because ever since Aerosol told him to do that for some reason... I want to see Chris do that. It sounded weird the way I said that. Sorry, Chris, if I made you feel uncomfortable. We're responsible for everyone's ear pussies now, so it's very, very difficult.
I love the term sweet sound dick. I'm sorry. But that made me lose it.
I haven't mentioned this before, but I really enjoy the premise of them just sort of traveling on the train and going to various spots instead of it just sort of being in one town and whatever. I don't know. I kind of like that. It's a nice little atmosphere.
I kind of hope we get a couple more of those episodes where, like, they go to a specific place that's taken over and there's, like, a, you know, specific event going on in the town, like we had a couple episodes back, like with the duels and stuff. Because this episode, it seemed like his whole shtick, the Monsters of the Week, was kind of glossed over because the main focus was on Blue and Yellow. But I hope we kind of see stuff like that, because I think I mentioned that during the episode, is that involving that whole traveling thing, the whole setup for it's pretty innovative considering what we usually do. Yep. Time for awkward dinner time with Tokiji. There's, like, so little to say. It's like the small talk we get through before we get to Gaim.
I mean, the show just isn't at that depth point yet.
Yeah.
Where we have a whole lot to talk about. I mean, it's enjoyable. So I don't really have anything really negative to say about it. I really like it. There's just nothing to really talk about because not a whole lot happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but... Dawson kind of perfectly summed up how I've been feeling today. Or when I, like, after I rewatched Gaim, it pretty much was, well, now we have to talk about Tokiuger, but I really just want to get to Gaim. it's like Brian said, I like it. I like it just fine. I don't really have any sort of issue. It's just we're only four episodes in, so there's not a huge amount to really say about it yet.
I think we've had such long Gaim discussions lately that, like, when we sort of finish everything we need to say on Tokiuger, I feel like, shit, I feel like we're missing something. It's, yeah.
We've never really necessarily timed ourselves with these discussions, but I feel like Gaim is probably the longest Tokyo discussions we probably had. For, like, single episodes.
Yeah, outside of PR.
Maybe Garo is probably in.
Yeah, we had some Garo ones that lasted quite a while.
We had some pretty lengthy PR ones, but that was mainly because we would get done talking about the episode and then talk about what fans were ranting about that week.
Which seems to happen a lot lately.
It's funny because I like how our style for going over episodes is like a lot of podcasts time themselves, like you said, and ours is just keep going until we, like, run out of steam. Until, like, we sort of hit that point where we're all just sort of awkwardly talking. Like, it's like we're like, ooh, I guess we're done. Okay. Are we all ready? Okay, so this week on Gaim, Kaito investigates how Hyman, a mysterious invest from a picture, and Kota struggles with exactly what to do about Yggdrasil, and Cid gets the go-ahead to take him out, and he, when you're going to do that, he tells Kota about his plan, Yggdrasil's backup plan to level the city, so Gaim beats his ass and takes his lock seed, but Michi distracts him before he can finish the job, and that's pretty much all that happened this week. So that was the shortest summary ever, 4 seconds. Boom. I just started to start doing bullet points until the event happens. Anyway, so this was a terrible episode. I hate Gaim now. No, I'm just kidding. I just wanted to shake things up. But it was another good episode. I guess it was sort of obvious things to not trust Yggdrasil after one episode last week, but I like how the show constantly changes from episode to episode in terms of so many people's motivations. Like, last week, it sort of seemed to me that Takatora did have noble intentions, and it was the other guys that were kind of more devious. And while that still might be the case in a lot of ways, you kind of reveal through that conversation that Takatora is involved in this plan that essentially levels the city. So now, I kind of see Yggdrasil as like a League of Assassins thing, where they think that they're doing the right thing, but they're doing terrible things. So I just love how that all changes. Cid is just a sadistic bastard who just wants to kill people, apparently. And even like with bringing Kota on, I thought that he was starting to sort of maybe want him to work with them, but that's not the case either. He's like, I want to see his dreams crushed. I'm like, well, there goes that ship.
I understand his. Well, maybe I understand it. I'm not entirely sure yet, but I understand his reasoning behind what he said, where he wants to see Kota despair and give up. He kind of just wants him out of his hair.
Yeah. I think he kind of sees this whole, like, shitty situation, and he thinks that Kota's being annoyingly optimistic about it. In a way, like, he's just kind of this fresh pair of eyes on it, and he's just like, God, I don't even know what you're talking about. You're just a street youth. Get out of my face.
He did say something interesting, though, where part of the reason he showed Kota the whole thing was that he wanted him to give up because it would make him feel better about the decisions that he made. So I am kind of curious, because it seems like Takatora has made some decisions that he's actually not overly happy about making. Like, he does seem like he has some kind of regret towards whatever's going on behind the scenes. We don't entirely know, because we got a couple of little glimpses from his conversation with Michi that there's a few other projects that are happening behind the scenes. But yeah, I thought it was interesting, because even though we had gotten that episode last week, and I know we were kind of thinking that maybe Kota would go along with what Takatora was saying, but this episode kind of proved that we still don't really know that much about Takatora or his motivations or
anything.
Yeah.
I still like to think that out of everybody there, or at least amongst the Energy Riders, he has the best intentions. I think that they're all going about it in a sort of League of Assassins way, but I think that he doesn't seem to have quite as malicious an agenda as the Energy Riders.
I agree with what you said about the fact that it kind of feels like he does have a regret to it. Like, oh, I don't want to kill everyone in the city, but kind of have to. If that's even his plan. I mean, we don't know. We don't know if Cid was actually telling the truth.
Yeah, that could have just been like some sort of new solar energy initiative. Like, it could have just been some advanced flashlights. We don't know.
I'm actually kind of glad you brought that up, because I was going to say, it for whatever reason, when I was watching that, it felt like Cid was bluffing. It just seemed odd. Plus, it's Cid. He doesn't really feel like he's the most trustworthy person in the world right now. So,
because I was thinking, why would he tell Kota that? But then I was like, oh yeah, he's gonna kill him. He's like that classic villain that's monologues. He's like, just before he kills him. But he didn't succeed. And, you know, I saw a lot of people, I see them all the time, and I saw a lot of this week saying that Michi's two-faced, which he is in a way, but it's not that simple. And that's what I like about how he's such a puppet master, I think, because he's got allegiances in all the camps, and he's balancing them all very well.
Go ahead.
I just was. I have to hand it to him. He's doing a damn good job of balancing all these sides, really, really well.
I do like that. It gets to a certain point where he's sort of on all sides so much that even the viewer starts to kind of question: is he really in this for the right reasons anymore? Like. You start to question just exactly what he's up to.
Yeah.
But I was going to say that of all the sort of secrets that have gone around between characters, like Michi keeping the secret from his brother that he was a writer and just all that stuff, which seemed to get resolved quicker than we thought they would, I feel like this idea that Michi is sort of playing everyone is that one thread that's still kind of going on since the beginning of the series. I feel like once we finally get to that climax of it where he finally shows his true colors to just about everyone, it's going to be a good scene. Like there's a meltdown coming. I feel it.
I did think it was kind of funny when Koto was telling Michi about all this Yggdrasil stuff he just found out about, assuming that Michi was hearing about this for the first time, that, you know, he noticed that Michi was relatively unfazed, but then Michi launched into this big monologue. Like, that would be awful suspicious to me, because it was such a prepared speech. It was like he was saying all the stuff he says in his head to justify himself out loud, and that was kind of a moment of that, I thought.
Not to mention that a lot of what he was saying was really reminiscent of what Takatora just told Koda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus they're brothers. But he doesn't know that, I guess. He doesn't know what they look like.
They kind of look alike a little bit. I was staring at Michi's face when he was monologuing.
And, like I do.
And I was like, I kind of see similarities. Kind of. I mean, obviously they're not related, but... They look close enough alike to make me believe it, but I
didn't know that he didn't know he'd never seen his brother. Sorry.
Yeah.
Like last week.
I guess he had one.
That's true. I guess when you think about it.
No, I think Michi's mentioned that he works for Yggdrasil. I don't know.
But when you think about it, it makes sense given that. Takatora didn't know that Michi was a dancer. That sounds really funny. He's a secret dancer.
Family needs to talk more.
I like how when all of the sort of B-team members were sitting around, they were like making fun of and being annoyed by Bravo like we were last week. He keeps going around going, the beat writers, shut up. Like, I love that they were essentially us last week. Like, even the people on the show were sick of him.
Shut up.
They were, like, imitating him. It was pretty funny.
Maybe we could show him a crack and lay off.
That would probably distract him.
Likes the crack.
That's really funny.
I kept thinking while watching them fight those thugs that were stealing, how weird it is to see human fights.
Yeah.
Because we're so used to monster fights.
Because outside of like a few like mind controls or like pre-monster transformations, you don't really see stuff like that. I was like, are they going to transform? What's going to happen?
And that is another thing that I was kind of surprised by was that Cid's still selling locks.
He's got to put the food on the table.
Yeah, like they're trying to keep that image of this all being connected to the Invest game kind of thing.
Yeah, which makes sense given that they they don't want to be revealed to the public. But look at all the other, you know, I was just look at all the other cities that have lived with it in Toku, but it's the same city. It's the same locations, but that have lived with knowing there's monsters attacking for a year. It goes away after a year.
We just gotta lay low and protect ourselves, and then everything will be peachy.
Everything will be Michi. Sorry. That means just creepy.
Everything will be Yoko.
You know, I have to give it to that actor. He does a really good job of playing the different faces of it. Like, because, you know, when you first see him in the beginning of the show, like, before he had his serious moment, or just see pictures of him, he looks like the, what I thought he was going to be, just kind of like the goofy sidekick. Because, like, I think I mentioned this before, is that he's like, oh, he's Gaim's other writer, he's part of the team. I was like, oh, he'll just kind of be the comic relief. But then, like, he got so good. And, like, when he gets that stern, creepy face, or, like, the face he had when he's monologuing, he switches between it so well. It's pretty
like
good.
He's got his back turned to a character. He's got this, like, super serious face. He's like, oh, I need to do this and that. And then all of a sudden I'll turn around and he'll be, like, smiling. We just need to make everyone happy. I'm like, oh, my lord.
It's interesting to think back to, like, the first episode where Michi was not even really addressed. Like, he was just a background character at that point.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly, back then, I really wasn't paying too much attention to the actors, like, what the actors looked like for each writer.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know that random background guy number two was... was Ryugen. I just thought he was just another guy part of their group.
He was probably so plotting even then.
Yeah, so when he when we got to like episode 2 or 3 and they started showing a little bit more of him, like, oh, this weird looking dude is Ryugen? Okay, I just thought he was a nobody. Whatever.
You know, some we haven't really touched on part of the episode is the thing that was going on with Baron, and he was following that mysterious picture, which I think could be what something we talked about, I think, last week of a possible invest that might be part of what's causing this, that he might possibly be, you know, behind the cracks in the invasion, or maybe not necessarily him, but he could be working for somebody or part of some sort of, you know, organization.
So yeah, I'm interested in seeing where that goes. We really only got a glimpse of him so far.
Yeah, literally.
We got a staff and a blurry picture.
That's what she said. But, you know, when it revealed within seconds what was in the picture, but when he was first looking around with the picture and walking around, I thought that, like, he was going to be doing that for the majority of the episode, and then, like, in one of the last, like, cliffhangers of the show, it was going to reveal that the picture was of, like, some sort of notable location in the city, and it was going to be there, too. But then it turned out to be that monster. But that's still interesting, because it kind of goes off of that thing we've been talking about one of the invests possibly being sentient, I guess you could say.
I don't know why I just now thought of it, but there's a scene where Ryoma is talking to Yoko. And Ryoma's just, like, typing away on his computer, but he just seems really into it. He's making all these weird faces, and he's, like, opening his eyes real wide and smiling. Like, it's just like, dude, what could you possibly be working on that would make you make those kind of faces?
He gets really hot for new drivers.
One of the top comments on the YouTube video I watched of it said... I guess they were paying attention to his finger movements, and they said, do people in movies and TV forget what it looks like to type? They always just bash keys randomly and never use the mouse. I'm like, that's so true. It's like, we all type, well, most of us anyway, it's like, we forget how it looks.
Oh, I'm typing.
That's what Brian does every night.
Kevin types like a new driver right now.
Kevin also develops horse drivers. So loud.
Good show.
Good job, to say the least.
I feel like I had more to say this week, but I guess I don't. It was a really good episode, though. I really enjoyed it. And
now, when is it not?
It's another one of those things where some of the most intriguing parts of the series is just when two characters are talking to one another.
Yeah.
Like, I get legitimately excited when two people start talking to each other. I'm like, oh, shit's gonna go down.
Because, I mean,
they're about to have a conversation, yo.
I mean, the action is fine. It's nothing spectacular or anything. It's just the real draw to this series is just people talking.
Yeah, because they're gonna reveal stuff. You can't reveal stuff when you're shooting bow and arrows at each other. Or energy bow and arrows. You can't shoot bow and arrows. Just shooting arrows. There we go. But yeah. Next week, stuff happens. I can't remember what the preview was for next week.
We get Cherry.
Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Always laughing at me. Why are you laughing?
I don't.
This ain't no game.
God damn it.
Sorry. Awesome. I had to finish it.
I don't really feel like the Jimba arms are really that interesting. Like, we have Lemon and now we have Cherry, and it's just
they look the same.
They just have different colors. That's yeah. It. He doesn't get any sort of new weapon with it. It's just now he's got the power of cherries. Okay.
Cool. You know, it's funny, because before we knew that he would be able to, you know, have all the different forms, I was like, oh, Lemon makes sense, because orange, lemon, I get it. They look similar, they're a similar line, but now he can just do whatever.
But,
yeah, those changes really don't do much.
I am looking forward to Kachidoki arms, though.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty awesome. He's going to have a badass mustache.
Apparently people were complaining about the suit. I just saw people complaining about the people complaining about the suit. I dig it. I love the suit.
I really, really like it. Like, Kiwami or whatever the final form is, it has a lot to live up to. Like, you have to look cooler than Kachidoki in order to have succeeded in your role. And you got a lot going for you, buddy.
It looks like it could be a final form.
Yeah, it does. A lot of people thought it was.
Yeah, that's why.
It was too early.
I've seen people calling it his first final form and stuff like that, too. Yeah,
that happened.
That happened. Oh, Toku community.
So Kachidoki is his first final form and Kiwami is his second final form? Do you realize what you just said?
Apparently not. Okay, is it Power Rangers next?
Yep,
it's time for that thing with the Super Mega Force Summaries, me!
Super. 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 Wait. Super. He got away from me. He started screaming Mega Force. I was unprepared despite doing this every week.
Okay. All right. So this is episode 4, I think. Lion something. There's I don't remember what the title.
Lion.
Lions.
Den.
Alliance.
King.
There we go. Alliance. Oh. Lion puns. So anyway, the episode starts off with them in the Megazord fighting the giant robot thingies, Bruisers or whatever the fuck they're called now. And so they're like, "Oh, look at us in our super cool Zords. We're awesome." And now they're at the command center, and Gosei's like, "Yeah, you're doing good, but the battles are getting harder." And they're like, "Yeah, they are getting kind of harder.
That's what she said.
And so he's like, well, you need a new partner that will give you more strength in ship. And so like, okay, what do we do? He's like, I'm sending you on a mission. Because I don't got feet. I can't get there. So he's like, there's a place called Animaria. Despite the fact that Wild Force said it was Animaria. And it was the Animarium. But that's not the point. It's Animaria now. And there's a lion on it.
And Zatcher worked on that season. I'm just saying.
There's a lion on it, and he'll help you, maybe. Ignore all the other Wild Zords. That are, you just want the lion.
They're all sleeping. It's Lion Zord shift.
We'll go there. You're going to need the skyship, and then Jake orgasms. And so now they're on the skyship, helmetless morph scene for no apparent reason other than to do it. And so Jake eyeballs Gia the entire time, and they eventually find that Animarium. I'm going to use the legit term. And so they land up there, they crash land or whatever the fuck they do. How do they get the skyship back from the Animarium? I just realized that.
It's got autopilot.
The Armada got to the Animarium too, and they fight, and they're like, oh, let's go Wild Force because it'll be funny. And so they go Wild Force, and they start fighting, and then a lion appears, and they're like, hey, it's the lion. And the lion's like, fuck you, and just smashes everyone. And they suddenly turn into Turbo Rangers for a second, like the Japanese Turbo Rangers, not the American Turbo Rangers. But only for a second, and now they're falling, and they're back to being the Wild Force Rangers. And they're like, oh, no, and then all of a sudden, they're landed in boxes and trash cans.
That's how they do it in Spawn Era. There's always water barrels and boxes to crash into.
That somehow broke their fall from thousands and thousands of feet in the air. But, no, they're safe. They reverted back to their normal Megaforce outfits, so... And they're like, oh, man, what happened? And now the monster's back on the ground, and he's just attacking people now for no reason. And they're like, oh, okay, now we have to stop him. And I feel like they changed into something. I don't remember what it was.
No, because they back on the Animarium, they did the Black Ranger change.
Oh, yeah! I forgot they did that because they didn't actually fight with it. They were split up and like, oh, let's tribute to Jake and give him black eyes or whatever stupid punch you said.
Yeah, they transformed and then they cut away before the fight started. And it's like, we're back to Troy and Jake running through the forest.
They cut away before the fight started and then all of a sudden they're back with them. Like, okay. But there might have been a change again. I don't think so. SPD was not used, so I'm upset. But anyway, after all that, they go Wild Force again. They're like, let's tribute to the lion, to the Wild Force. I'm like, you just fucking did that.
He didn't care before.
And so they're the Wild Force Rangers again, and they fight, and then the lion's like, yeah, I'll help you. And so the monster goes, they used the Savage Slash, the sword thing. They used that, but they used that in Gokaiju too, so.
But they said the right stuff here.
At least I think they did. I will give them... I might say this again. I'll probably forget in the span of a minute. But I do have to give them props. They keep using the right terms for everything. So they're actually not being completely retarded.
They know terms.
So they have the lion. Lion's helping them now. They're like, oh, let's form a Megazord. And so the sub and the Wheeler. Is that what they're calling it? Baby Dragon or whatever. I don't know. What? And so they pop off, and then they just kind of feet plant into the lion. And they're like, oh, legendary Wild Force Megazord, look at us, we're awesome riding lion. And then they win. And they're like, oh, lions are cool, and then it ends.
That's exactly what they said before the episode ended.
It is. It was alright. Outside of the Turbo Ranger flub, which I only noticed because white was suddenly pink.
The only reason I noticed is because someone on Twitter pointed it out and said go to this timestamp, and I did, but I don't think I would even caught it.
I noticed it before it was pointed out to me, but just because I was looking at it, and then all of a sudden, oh, there was pink there. But it's one of those things where it's an editing mistake, yes, but at the same time, it's kind of stupid to complain about it. It's a very minor thing.
MMPR had much worse editing mistakes. kid by Megazord.
Dan in the background and shit. So and that really didn't bother me a whole lot. Falling from the Animarium was...
Because in Go Fighter, they're on Jet.
Right. Nothing that really bothered me, because they really didn't have an alternative, since none of the PR powers can fly.
They could have had, like, somebody turn into Mystic Force Pink and, like, create, like, a air soft landing for him or something.
Yeah, that was an option.
They could have called the dragon in to pick him up. Thanks, dragon.
The Ninja Storm's gliders were an option, but didn't only the main three have gliders?
Yeah.
I don't think
the Thunderators might have, actually. I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
They could have had the Galaxy Gliders. Hang 10.
There was a couple options that would have involved a lot more production than they were willing to put in. So I understand what they did, even if it makes zero sense. But yeah, I didn't mind the episode. Story-wise, it was okay. They got all the names right. They completely spammed the hell out of Wild Force.
They should have transformed into something else up there.
Yeah.
Something that had a pink, and then maybe you might not have paused it and seen the Turbo Ranger.
Right.
Why not Mystic Force? They haven't done any kind of Mystic Force transformation since the first episode, and they already got their tribute mech. At least with... It's not really tribute episodes, but with SPD and Wild Force, they both did their teams on the episode they got it. So they could have gone Mystic Force.
That's too much work.
Way too much? Well, they had to get the suits out, because it was original fight footage, which actually looked really nice. The choreography was pretty decent, and the suits looked good in HD, the Wild Force suits. Mm-hmm. So that was neat. You could see the crew in it, apparently.
That happened. Like, people were actually complaining about that. I'm like, that happens in every PR, in every Sentai. Like, it's a common thing. It happens.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's a big deal.
I think someone took a picture of, like, the Gokaiger episode and you saw it, too. But yeah, it was a pretty solid episode. There really wasn't much wrong with it. It was pretty entertaining. Like, the only problems being that small editing thing. I thought they should have gone something else instead of Wild Force. It seemed, like, kind of choppy that they didn't show the fight for the Black Ranger transformation. Or at least a few more seconds of it. Considering, like you said, they were all of a sudden with him again. I don't think there wasn't much else to say. This was kind of a... I mean, Power Rangers episodes are never heavy on plot, but there wasn't very many stop-and-talk moments. It was just kind of location-to-location fights. I'm sad we didn't get the scene with Princess Shayla and, you know, her bones holding the jackets. But what are you going to do? Like... You know, you do wonder about... Obviously, they couldn't get people back, but you do wonder about stuff like that. Like, where was she be? Where are the other Wild Zords?
Jumping back to one thing you just said about it being, like, location-to-location fights. Like, that's kind of what PR has degraded into.
That's true.
Like, there's very little exposition in it. It's just all... okay, here is a... brief setup for the story. Here's what the monster does. Let's have them fight, Megazord fight, the end.
That's true. Samurai had a little bit less because they had all the Shinkenger scenes written for him. But these past a season and a quarter have kind of been that. These aliens are evil, Rangers, fight them. Okay. Maybe get a juice at some point. I don't give a fuck. But just do that for like 20 episodes or so. Jake still hasn't gotten his ice cream. I don't remember what episode it was, but I don't know if anyone noticed, but within the past four episodes, there was a bit where Jake almost got an ice cream again. I think it was maybe like at one of their rebuilding parties or something. I thought it was pretty funny. You know, they should have made this and the Samurai one a two-parter, and then brought Decker back and Cole back, and then they could have passed each other and been like, he's pretty good-looking, but I'm so much prettier. And done one like the Mara and Cassidy thing. Just because it would be funny.
Same line.
Yeah, it would be funny to hear Rick Medina say, I'm so much prettier. That would have been funny. I feel like that's something Disney era might have done if they could have gotten Rick Medina back, and they, presuming they had used Rick Medina for Decker. Um, But I have no idea why, but I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing Jaden next week, just because I'm curious how it's going to be set up.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious
what his reason's
going to
be.
It.
And so, like,
since we had in Gokaiger, what's her face?
Karu
came back instead of Takaru because his actor went and starred in 5 billion dramas. And so it'll be interesting to see how they set it up, and I'm kind of interested to see whether he has his powers or not.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, because there wasn't a legendary battle, everyone lost their power set up. So, I wonder if he'll morph at all without beating side-by-side fights. He should transform into Samurai Red, and then Jaden also transforms, they just fight side-by-side. Can you imagine the two of the same suits standing next to each other? Oh, man.
People will start screaming sexist because it's two males instead of using a female suit.
Oh, man. But I'm just kind of interested to see how they do both this and Casey's, because those are the only... I believe those are the only cameos in the middle of the season that we know of, unless there's something we just don't know of.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is that we might get Eka back for the RPM one, but have it in suit only, like the team-up.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I could think of that they might pull out. But...
we'll see.
Yep. All right. So now it's time for Ramble, Ramble, Ramble time.
Oh yeah, I was about to say Facebook. I get to sit back down.
Talk about this first.
I forgot that we were doing this in order this week. After this, I'm used to just leaving. So, what happened this week?
It's a shame we didn't save our little private Mega Ranger discussion.
Yeah, I thought about that as we were talking about it. I was like, son of a bitch.
Well, maybe next week they can hear us complain about Mega Ranger. I doubt our opinions will change in a week. Like,
long
right
story
now,
short, it's boring.
Like, right now, the series would have to do some of the most amazing television I'd ever see for it to be anywhere close my top, like, 10 even. Because it's got, like, what, 20 episodes now to impress me, because there's a point somewhere between 20 and 30 that if they haven't done anything, there's, like, almost no chance it can save itself into being, like, one of my most beloved series. Because there was that large chunk of time where nothing happened, and
yeah,
that's Mega Ranger. I think legitimately four things have happened that were important. There was the pilot, Mega Silver, the reveal about Dr. Hyena, whatever his name is, and then the Delta Mega, which wasn't even that exciting. I thought it was going to be more exciting than it was. It was pretty boring, to be honest. Phantom Ranger wasn't even in it. So, yeah, it's been pretty boring.
Oh, squishy, damn
it. Yeah, well, like I said in our discussion earlier, it's just... it's the most generic Sentai I've seen so far.
Pretty much. I feel like only one of the book clubs we've done so far has sparked our interest in any way, which is Die Ranger.
Admittedly, I do like Gal Ranger better than Megaforce. Yeah.
Megaforce or Mega Ranger?
Mega Ranger. God damn it.
Oh, I was going to say, how are those related?
No, I keep messing that up. You guys were just talking about Megaforce.
Sorry.
So I'm confused.
Mega Ranger.
One of those few times where we're recording the entire show in order.
Yeah. What's that guy going to do that listens out of order? He's going to freak out. They're going in order. I don't know what to do. This is madness. But yeah, like, I did like Gal Ranger more than Mega Ranger, because even though I wasn't as invested, things were happening more often. Like, there would only be maybe three or four episodes where there was, like, filler where nothing happened, but then there would be multiple parters. Well, there weren't technically two parters, but there would be arcs. And this one, like, nothing has happened.
There was a couple of pretty decent episodes of Gal Ranger. Not, like, outstanding or anything, but they kept me at least a little more interested than...
at least stuff was happening. That's one advantage, I think, of Sentai the last, I guess, decade or so now, where we have more toys. So if the show's boring, at least you have something to be introduced to look forward to. But like Mega Ranger, it took forever for them to get their second Megazord. It's like on episode 3, we're getting our first auxiliary Zord nowadays.
It's also not as cut and paste with plots for episodes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we still get the occasional wedding episode every now and then in a Sentai, but it's not the same routine over and over again.
Yeah.
Which the 80s series that I've seen felt more like that, and Mega Ranger feels like
Mega
that.
Mega Ranger. Oh. Yeah, they're pretty generic plots, and I feel like even when they focus on the characters, we're not really learning anything about them. And I don't feel like there's any kind of development or any such thing going on there. Like, we'll have today when there's focus episodes, they'll maybe be some sort of development, or maybe you'll learn something about their past, and they have much more distinct personalities.
Yeah.
So it's more entertaining.
It's like you said earlier, I like Mega Silver more than I like anyone else on the team.
Because he has more of a personality.
Like, I don't hate Black. I couldn't think of his name. But like Shun doesn't really have much going on. Neither does Chisato. And Red and Pink just have the same shtick. They're just both dumb. I honestly felt like the Mega Silver character would have made for a better Red for the series.
Yeah, it should have just been about him and his shenanigans. And my favorite characters of Black Eye and White Chicken from the ship aren't even on. So what's the point? You know, there was a funny moment where, I don't remember exactly what he was saying, but he was explaining something to them really serious, and all of a sudden he just like blurted out something in a really goofy way and started laughing. And I thought it was pretty funny. But that's Mega Ranger. Let's see, what was this week then? I know we don't have Turtles because the special doesn't air till tomorrow for us. Today, technically.
Yeah, I never even bothered to watch it online.
Yeah, because I thought that it was going to air this following Sunday when it went up online, like the day of the last episode. So I'm like, oh, I'll just watch it live. I'm not in that much of a hurry. And then it's like Friday in like almost 2 weeks. I'm like, what? I like how you said, can you just pick a damn day? They've been all over the place. It was like Friday night, Saturday morning, Sunday morning. God.
Does the next episode go back to Sunday, or are we on a Friday?
As far as I know, it goes back to Sunday.
I think.
So,
I don't think it'll be on this Sunday.
Oh. Damn.
Next Sunday.
I was going to say, next week we could have an hour and a half of worth of episodes to talk about, but
nope.
Guess not.
Let me check.
I guess maybe the reason they did it could have been an issue of time slot, as they couldn't get an hour on Sunday.
It's their network. Why can't they get an hour?
Well, whatever is at 9:30. Maybe it's really important to them.
On a Sunday? Yeah, right.
I don't know.
I
don't know their life.
So, was there Pokemon this week?
I'm trying to remember what it was about. Story of my life.
It was the Aerosol's favorite Pokemon.
Oh, the Furfrow episode. Oh yeah.
Now I don't know whether to be happy or sad that I didn't watch it.
It was the most amazing episode ever, including demonstrated why it's the greatest Pokemon of all time.
It was.
I don't even recall that much about it, other than like she was really shitty at her confidence with grooming, and then by the end of the episode she learned that it trusted her enough to make it look like an idiot. I like it.
It did.
I like its generic form so much better than all of its weird groomed forms, kind of like regular poodles, I guess. And like it was just kind of this regular Pokemon, and then at the end of the episode it's got like hearts all over it. Like, wow, that was dumb.
The cat's sitting here, and she's like, I thought it was a dude.
Oh, it's like the Samus reveal, but with a Furfrou. But that's pretty much all I remember.
It was basically that breeding episode where Brock got the Vulpix. But with this, with fur fruit instead.
And nobody took it home.
Nobody gave a shit.
Nobody, everyone just left.
Meanwhile, I still think they're trying to ditch Serena.
So where are you going? That's definitely not where we are. That's pretty funny. We never really invited her along. Why is she still following us? I don't know. Maybe I should make an invention to get rid of her. Calm down, Silas. I'm just leaning into it now. What's his real name? It's
Lemon.
Yeah. It's a weird name. You should get an easier to remember name, like Silas. At least I remember Bonnie's name now. What was Ben 10 about this week?
That Kai bitch was back.
Oh, yeah, with the American Ben Wolf in London or whatever. Yeah. I love the whole bit about him naming it on the spot. He's like, I don't even call it Ben Wolf anymore. Looks over at TV. I thought that was pretty nice.
I did find it funny that he actually named it. Well, they didn't say it was Wolf Blitzer, but that was the general idea.
Yeah.
It totes was. And I love it because everyone kept calling it that while we were talking about it before on the on the show. And that's legitimately where it came from.
Yeah. And I thought that was funny, just a way of not only addressing like that whole bit about that being the reason for his name, but just the bit of the Ben's aliens being named that previously and how long it's been since he used it.
I was going to say, I like that they referenced the fact that they were previously named Ben Wolf and Ben Mummy and stuff like that. Just lame names.
Unless I'm forgetting something, I legitimately don't think he used it since his debut episode. Because I don't recall him using it for the remainder of the original series, and then it was never in Alien Force or Ultimate Alien outside of the opening theme of Ultimate Alien.
I don't think it was either. I don't remember it anyway.
That's pretty crazy. That's a long time. This episode was about the Forever Knights, and that one dude turned himself into something.
Turned him into a gorilla.
And Excalibur was there. I sound like I'm making this up, but it really happened. I'm gonna have space paninis with Black Hitler, and you can't stop me.
Sorry. Yeah, I just looked up the appearances for Blitzwolfer. It's only two.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. But yeah, I found this episode to be okay. Kai was another character that hadn't appeared since her, I think, that episode.
I think he had, like, daydreams and stuff about her, but, yeah, like, the actual character of her.
Yeah. And, like, her character was only of any importance because in the, like, bonus content episode of, like, Ben 10,000 or Ken 10, it said that he marries her and she's Ken's father. Or Ken's father. She's Ken's father. Big reveal. She's got a penis. Ben turned into a woman using the Omnitrix, and they got down to some kinky shit. No, but that's... I probably follow a little bit more by the reason she's brought up a lot. Which I'm glad that they brought her back for that, just because I thought it was funny that those bonus content episodes aired, like, as an event leading to Alien Force. And so they reveal that Ben marries this chick and has a kid, and then they never mention her, and Ben gets a random new Asian girlfriend in Alien Force. So I'm glad they at least have her back in orbit.
I don't like her.
I like her more than Julie. I didn't ever like Julie. She was such a boring chick.
Well, yeah, she didn't really have much going on for her except that she played tennis. but yeah, I don't know. I just don't really care for Kai's personality.
I'm trying to remember if anything else happened in this episode that I want to mention at all.
Why does she not care about Ben, but totally wants to fuck Wolf Blitzer? Blitz Wolfer?
She's a weird... She's got a furry fetish. She's got a furry fetish.
Yeah, she's going to be going to Morphicon, the other one.
Oh, God. And then whenever we get to this point, I'm always trying to think what next week's episode's about, and I can't remember. I'm sure it'll involve aliens, and Ben, you can guarantee that.
You bet.
Is that it for ramble time? Shit. We're like ramblet time.
So the next episode is called Animo Crackers.
Oh, great. Oh, man. That's probably where I was starting to think about this from.
Ooh. Is it? Yeah. New Alien.
Gut Rot. That's a fun name. Vampire. I can't believe that's an actual name. Because now it's time for the Facebook question of the bi-weekliness.
Which has turned into the Facebook task of the bi-weekliness. Next week it's going to be, give me a sandwich. That's only the women can participate. Boom, take that, activists. Make it a cheese sandwich. Anyway, so this week's task was pick one toku series and sum it up in a tagline.
Stress on the one.
Yep.
okay, so Derek Zartan Zartan says Garo, Golden, Horrors, and Boobs.
Jorah Tanzan Jr. says Kamen Rider Kiva, emotional bathtub loner seeks violin varnish very vehemently while flirtatious father fights frenzied fangires.
He said tagline, not Craigslist post.
Oh, thank you, George. That was like my winner of the reading these. It really was.
Calvin Kai Lee says, Gaim, fruit locks are just the beginning.
Corey Gong says, Chugen Sentai Gekiranger, Gong Changer. Need me to do more? See what you did there.
More like Jukin Sentai. Anthony Siano says, Garo, Knights, Demons, and Tits.
Kevin Fantavong says, Kamen Rider Double, some guy's ass.
I missed that. That was a thing for so long.
Was.
And we just abandoned it like some cheap slut.
Well, that's what you do with cheap sluts.
Edgar Queck says, Kamen Rider Wizard, magical hand jobs and boring exposition.
Fize Daniel says, Kamen Rider Gaim, a fresh, fruity twist on Kamen Rider. Two Kamen Riders, sorry.
Jared Castile says, Kamen Rider Gaim, a new look on fruit.
Charles Chong says, Battle Fever J, rape on a whole new level.
Edward Queck says, Battle Fever J, rowdy, racist rapists.
You said we were only reading one.
I did. Did you already answer? Oh, yeah. Crap. Damn it! I broke my own rule. But he had two in that one, so I read one of that, so I, like, half paid attention to myself. Sorry.
Adam Wynn says, it's so simple. Curiouger. Dino Dancers.
Caesar R. Cespedes says, Kamen Rider Forze. Space, friendship, stupidity.
Brody Killer Gage says, Kamen Rider O's. Subarashi! It's just what is a happy birthday.
Sean Gardinier says, VR Troopers, almost was, but thankfully wasn't, almost Tommy Time the series.
Tommy Time? It's called TT. T squared. I'm Tom Taylor. T squared. Sorry. Kiefer Martin says, tattooed teenage alien fighters. And tagline, no.
Thank you for skipping me.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
I picked the one I preferred out of these two. Enrico Gutierrez says, Tokume Sentai Go Busters. Once you enter, there is no escape.
I actually kind of dig that.
Yeah.
Chenick Stewart says, Kamen Rider Forze. Shit. Nothing more. Nothing. Nothing. God damn it.
Nothing less.
That was my mistake. Nothing less.
Nothing less, man.
Alan Brown says, Kamen Rider Forze, the things I do for love.
Chris Hutchins says, Dan Setsujin 17, the series with the big robot that nobody ever saw.
Did you say Dan Setsujin?
Did I? Oh. That's another show. It's about a guy named Dan and his robot. It's pretty fun. They eat a lot of pancakes. Good times.
Chris Nichols says, Go Busters, the RPM sequel that could have been.
Peter Lee says, Kamen Rider Fives, teenage angst and terrible people.
J. Jonah Jameson says, Garanger, five senses for the win.
Someone's going to have to explain that one to me. Gary M. Baker says Gecky Ranger, Bruce Lee.
Okay. And then Jeff Moses says Curiouser, the musical. That's basically the movie.
I had one for this one. I made up the question and I can't remember it. Oh, damn it, what was it? I'm going over the series in my head.
I think next season we have to get rid of that rule that says we have to answer these.
Yeah. Well, it'll essentially be gotten rid of it in a way anyway. But I really did have one because that's how I thought of the question. Damn it. Well, we got nothing, folks.
I really don't have anything.
Mega Ranger. Cricket chirping.
Mega Ranger. Insert crickets here.
Jetman. I'll find there, a was a there was a blue? There was a blue. Lucky who? God, I really will. I'll probably remember it like in the middle of the night.
Most of the Sentai community would go, Curiouser, Curiouser read the show. And God. Then I'd get upset.
Daigo Sentai King Ranger. Oh, I think we can just cease the awkward silence portion of the evening. Sweet. And move right on to
Final Things!
Final Things. MP3. Choo choo.
So, for final thingies, as always, make sure to ask Twitter questions for next week. Facebook will be the week after. I'm glad to hear that there was a good amount of people I saw that did enjoy our first riff episode, episode zero. Despite our minimal content, it was pretty much just me making fun of Constantine. But I'm not sure when, but sometime soon we're going to put up a little. I don't remember if we're going to do a selection for them to choose or we're choosing it, but we're going to be doing another one sometime soon. I don't remember how we're doing that. What do we decide? Did we decide we're picking three choices and then they're going to vote on it?
Yeah, I think we're each going to toss in a pick and then
do
a vote.
So yeah, that's what we're going to do. I'm not sure when it'll go up, but there'll be three picks and then you get to vote on what the next episode will be. By you, I mean Kiefer. No, but so that'll be a thing. So that was fun.
I love fun.
I will say, because I'm terrible at coming up with these, if you do have a suggestion, feel free to just tell one of us on Twitter.
Yeah, and if we don't end up using it for that week, we could always use it for another episode, because it's not like we're only doing one episode after this.
Yeah.
So it can always be ideas for later. Bye.